Welcome back to the No Ordinary Cloth podcast. This is part two of the conversation with Linda Urbin, continuing her reflections on smart textiles and life. If you haven't listened to part one, I would highly recommend you listen to it before you continue here. If you have enjoyed part one, let's dive right back in to hear more from Linda. How would you prepare students? I mean, we're sort of teaching them these new possibilities through their masters, even their PhD, and then sending them out into the world. Mm-hmm. How do we prepare them, not from that technical textile and smart textile perspective, but to manage this relationship of working with the industry? What would your advice be to them?
I think that is something that is super important to discuss more, because the journey I'm on have brought a lot of new insights to the teaching and the knowledge building and the industry, and also from on a much larger scale. It's not, I think, of course, that have to do with life also. I'm getting 50. I feel like, yeah, it's also about living life and getting experience from life. But I think it's also about moving from individual ideas and to lift it to a more collective idea, to see it as something influencing the whole society. So it's about how to prepare students for the industry can be improved a lot. And I think the dialogue between industry and the universities, it's important to be that it's there. But of course, the students also should have the freedom in the university. But one thing is to work more together. I think in design education, quite much is about working on your own, developing your own. Of course, you need to get to know yourself and your expressions, and that is really important. But also to be able to work together with others, to move a bigger intention, is probably something that could be deepened, or that I wish I had been contributing with much more when I were in the university. And because it's now 8 years back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now you have the experience from the industry side to then go back to the university to be able to drive that better, because you've been on the other side as well. Mm-hmm. So you know what the expectations are, you know what's possible.
Yeah, that is something I also work a lot with, being in the industry, to build on the industrial relation, and also with material research and material science, and to see how we can prepare the industry and also make them part of also setting the agenda going forward. So it's not about really applied research where you get like a certain task. This is a specific problem. We need to find a solution for this. But more to start to share also more long-term goals and create dialogue, so we could move things forward together, really. Because like, we are here, we have one world, we are here together. We need to find ways. We cannot like be we and them. Like, we really need to find ways of seeing that, oh, we are here in the same, we have the same resources, we have the same responsibilities in going forward, and the fantastic chance to improve things and have fun at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember when we were at university, the things we were taught, there was more traditional what you would do with textiles. But now, as you say, textiles, you can work at so many different scales. There's so many new materials. Material science is influencing textile processes. Are we preparing students to work in these new spaces? How does the textile curriculum itself evolve and change? Maybe it's happening in Sweden, but a lot of universities are still stuck in that, you know, big industrial manufacturing focused curriculum, whereas the industry is going through such a big shift now in what is possible. How can we prepare students for the jobs of the future?
Yeah, I think it's, again, really important that we find that industry and universities find ways of also collaborating. So that's a big challenge, because I would say a lot of development is happening in the industry, but it's not put together as research, or it's not contributing to adding on the knowledge in a science-based way, but still it's knowledge that is built, but about also how we share it. So I think we need each other, or they need each other, both education and industry. Yeah, and I think it's a good, and it's in Sweden it's also happening, because the industry is represented in the boards, educational boards, to give feedback and so on. So it's a good system, and I think also for funding, the industry is most of the time present. It needs to be present also. But there, I think a lot of things can also be developed there to meet each other. So both part, I think that's a challenge. So both part feel that they gain. And then again, there is about preparing and having competences in the industry that can also run a research project and receive a research project. So it actually could gain more people.
More support.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it's also interesting. I know sometimes industries choose to, what universities they choose to engage with. And so it's of course very different. But I also heard that in some, maybe not in textiles, but in some other, more in tech fields, it's more, then it's also important that the professors take a very active part in the education, so the new research results and everything is really spread and shared with the students as a way of really securing that the newest knowledge will be reaching the industry with the students, with the new students coming out to the industry. So I think that there are of course a lot of different strategies there, and I think it's quite different from industry to industry. But when it comes to textile, especially textile design, it's a quite mature, and textile engineering also overlaps to material science.
I mean, like you mentioned earlier, there were all sorts of new skills that you had to pick up as well, isn't it? Beyond what we were taught at university. So you probably had to learn things like electronics, a bit of programming, at least understand enough to be able to collaborate really well with people from other disciplines. I always think about how can we bring all of that much more into the curriculum. Mm-hmm. Even introducing things like biochemistry, material science as part of textile curriculum, so the students are able to get a basic understanding of it. They don't need to be experts at it, but at least they can communicate better, because this industry is so much about collaboration, and learning to collaborate itself is a skill. And one thing I've learned is if I can understand the other discipline, at least the basic concepts of it and the language of it, that collaboration is so much more effective and productive. That's something that we all need to learn. And we've had to sort of learn and pick it up and learn through mistakes and all of that. But I think it's something that universities could do better at in building partnerships and collaborations with people from other disciplines, completely different spaces. Yes.
I think sometimes you really need to go down in your field and in a topic, but just as important to just go across. So you need to do both, because otherwise it will be maybe too conservative, or it will not move, and you need to bring in the present and work across. And I think that is a good thing with, for example, the program at the Swedish School of Textiles, where are really open for bringing in also other disciplines. You could like overlap a bit. And of course, they need to work a bit more to deepen their textile knowledge, but that it's worth it, because it will also, those students will also open up the field and expand the field of textiles, instead of just carrying on a tradition and passing on a tradition. That is beautiful and that is needed, but we also need to bring in the unexpected and the expected from our time to make it relevant in our time.
Is there a creative process that you go through when you're doing your textile projects, even just an artwork. I'm just curious about your creative process, if you can share about that.
I get really inspired by materials in my hands. I'm really like a doer in that sense. I like to let the material lead me and maybe put up a framework and have a question. But what I have also, now when I work professional with textiles and for the industry, also feel that I need to have this more open space and creative space for myself. So I have, the last years, I have been working more with ceramics, and there I have more interested in the act of creation itself, to explore what could be created through me more than by me. So I think it's more for me to come into a state of meditation almost together with the material, and to explore more the nature of material. This is something that have kept on coming back to me over the years, but it is to see myself as a tool, and also to offer myself as a tool for the creative process. And also it's an act of creation, but also an act of, or an exercise to put my ego aside. So I stop judging while making. It's a way of learning about material expressions and the technology. Yeah, different techniques for like raku or wood fire. And I think that is really exciting, just to be in the process and learn a new process. It's something quite meditative over it, and it's also makes me so overwhelmed about the nature of a material. I think it's to find its inner quality and the messages that is there. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. I think I see the journey that maybe you and I have had over the last 20 years is a bit of an adventure. You know, we didn't really know where we were going with it, but we were excited. We just kept moving forward. But there were times when it's not as beautiful as it sounds, like when you talk about an adventure, it's like, oh, it was such a wonderful adventure. It was hard. You didn't know what you were doing. You get lost. You feel alone. How did you keep going? What was your North Star that kept you moving forward?
It has been to continue to discuss with people, of course, that is interested. I think it's so important that we have this community, even though it's not active all the time. We have a lot of people to reach out to and discuss. Maybe we could have also used or helped each other even more over the years, I'm thinking about. But maybe we were also a bit occupied by life that happens here. Then you move on. But I think that is one thing, to come back to the energy and feel and understand the energy that you get from other and that you give others. I think that is really magic when that happen, and to be more, I'm thinking now going forward, maybe be even more conscious about giving and taking energy.
We all sort of experienced that when we had the e-textile summer camp, where we really did feel like all these people were, you know, traveling alone. We got together for a week and then we really just shared and learned from each other. And yeah, those were lifelines for me, because especially, I mean, early 2000s, when I went back to India, it was such a struggle to even believe anything was possible, because I just didn't have any community around me. And it felt very lonely, but to be able to find points, like when I came to work at the university in Sweden, to find people who were on that journey as well, and who were going through similar highs and lows. Also, I guess it's part of going on an adventure is that you end up with scars, and you, you know, you carry those scars with you, but they've also taught you things. I don't know, what would you say? Can you look back and see some scars from this adventure? And what have they taught you?
Yeah, but absolutely. There is, I think it's maybe a lot about expectations also. To be clear about it and have more clear roles. When I think we were because we were a team of pioneers within this. And then I think it were so natural for us, and we created every day relationship to smart textiles. And then when we came out in the world, I think I had that view upon that. Okay, yeah, but smart textile, that it's very clear. It's this and this. You can do that. You can just and then it's like you just come down in. It's like a bit playing a different game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I sometimes realize that okay, we are not playing the same game here. And that can, of course, be quite hard. And if you have been playing chess for a couple of years and then you suddenly realize that someone else have been playing cards or something, and then to come back a bit to what also gives me energy, I think it is really about exploring, continuing understanding material in a new context, and also to improve things, and also to show more about what the material itself is carrying and want to bring. And I think that is so amazing with what we in a way unlocked in this smart textile community, is a new understanding of what textile could be.
Absolutely, about, really. Yeah.
And there is not one answer. It's a lot of different things. And it's just continuing to shape.
Mm. We've sort of reflected a lot over the last 20 years. Now looking forward, what would you sort of envision the future to look like over the next 20 years?
Yeah, after having this really great discussions, not only today, but also the pre-discussions now with you, is I feel that, yeah, but there is so many things to do on a higher level. I think it's a lot about finding new ways for industry and universe, both on their own, but also together, to find ways forward together. And institutes also, of course, because the knowledge as we know it today is also changing, and how we share knowledge and how we build knowledge and what we think is knowledge. So I think it's a lot of exciting things that needs to be revisited, really, to find a good way going forward. A lot of things that needs to be done.
We have work to do.
Yeah, but I feel, yes, a lot of work to do. Yeah. No, but I feel really inspired to think about the experience that we in this community have been building a platform for, and now we have also gained a lot of different experience from quite some time from different parts of society, industry. And I'm so happy that you have started to bring life to a new generation of discussions where we can reflect and start to see what could really be a valuable next step.
I hope that gathering all these conversations over these podcasts, I hope we start to see that picture emerging as well. If you could give some advice to your 20-year-old self, what would that be?
To have fun. Refill the energy, do things that gives you energy, and trust your ideas. And share your ideas, and also trust your curiosity more, to let that lead you to share more, and also continue and follow the curiosity. That can never be wrong.
Oh, I love that. I guess that's a mindset, isn't it? No matter which field you're working in textiles or smart textiles or whatever, it's a mindset of that curiosity and trusting that.
Yeah, I absolutely. As we talked about before, also to collaborate more with others. I think when I were 20, I were more, yeah, of course, it depends on the educational system and society, but more towards individual results, of course, contributing to society and the bigger picture. But I think today, if I could give an advice to myself when I were 20, that would really be to also to work more together with others, to bring more to the community. And I think that is also one reason why I decided also to step over to industry from being at university. I felt that at the university, I've been in a fantastic journey, establishing a quite new in the beginning building, being a part of contributing to building a foundation to the design research at the Swedish School of Textiles in Borås. And then also daring to step out and go to the industry. There I also first I were thinking I should step back. I didn't have really a clear idea that I should continue in the industry, but I also felt that no one else were giving that as I could give, even though I personally felt quite frustrated from time to time because it's not the easy shift. But I felt that I were maybe not always wanted, but I were needed.
I love that.
And then I felt, but at the university, there is so many people that wants to be there and have, it's already there building up this, and it's just rolling and it's just happening. But on the industrial side, I know that both of us have also experienced and really been working really hard in moving things or suggesting things and trying also to share our experiences from Smart Textiles and visions, of course. And not so many of us are there. So I also felt that, yeah, but I think actually I will do better. In the long run, it will probably be more needed to have me here than at the university. And I thought that I've just started here. I haven't moved anything in 2 years. And then I better just continue and see if it's possible. So that is also a bit giving me energy to actually find ways to clear a really messy road, or no, there area where there is no road, and just find out how to get through. Of course, you can. It can be hard on the way, but it's also important that some people bring in those new perspectives that we can question and suggest alternative ways of doing things going forward.
So I know we talked about a lot of your work and reflection. I was wondering if we could kind of go back to just your early days as Linda, as a young girl. I've known you for 20 years, but actually know very little about where you grew up, what life was like, and what you enjoyed doing as a young teenager.
I'm born in Skövde in Sweden. It's between the two big lakes, Vänern and Vättern. I have a brother. I grew up with my brother and mother and father. And I also had, and I also have still today, I have to say this in English. I grew up with my family and also with my extra family. That is my friends, my dear friends. We are a group of women now. We met when we were maybe around 6 years. And then some of us, and then the group grew. And then when we started, when we were maybe around 10, 11, we were a gang of 10. We have had so much fun together. And I can see now also, looking back, that they have been so important for me growing up also. And so they were really like my extra family. We were having so much fun. We were biking a lot together. We were camping together. We were building small houses for our dolls in the wood and in the snow and in the garage, and we were taking them on holidays to the woods, out in the woods, and we have been through a lot. So we have been out in nature playing a lot together, and I were also doing craft as a child, pottery. Not nice to go back now, but it's fantastic with this girl, with the gang here, with the women. We are all turning 50 this year. we used to go traveling together. So this year we will go 1 week together. So they feel really like a big part of my childhood. Yeah, so I'm very proud of being a part of that little gang.
Yeah. Do you remember when you were around that age what you wanted to become when you grew up?
No, actually not. I think I have always been very driven by what gives me energy from one step to another. And that's how I have taken my steps very much. I have never had a clear idea about having a certain position or a job. It have been more about following what have given me inspiration. And I remember we had some support in school that were there to help us and guide us in what we should study. And I remember this guy, he were like, I said that I want to do something more creative. I want to create things and paint photography. And he was looking at me and like really tired and like, yeah, you will never earn any money if you go into that direction. Don't do that. And my parents were also like, no, but maybe you should do something more ordinary, something that you can get a job after. And I didn't really understand what they meant. But then my parents were also very much encouraging me to, or maybe that was not encouraging. They were just saying that, yeah, but you always do what you do anyway, depending on what we say. So that will sort itself out. So they were.
Yeah.
So I did. Actually, now looking back, I think I were quite brave and I followed that direction that gave me energy and where I felt joy and where I felt, I could learn things and understand the world in my way. So I think that's important to follow what you like to do. I think that that's the biggest gift you actually could get, to feel joy and curiosity and this overwhelming feeling of being like amazed over something.
Yeah, I had a very similar experience when I finished doing my undergrad in textiles. I knew all I wanted to do was textiles since I sort of first experienced it at 16, started making textiles and teaching myself. So I finished my undergrad and I was like, yeah, I want to be a textile artist and, you know, continue my work. And I went up to, he is actually a textile collector in Bangalore, really well known. You know, I was quite nervous to go meet him, but he was kind enough to give me an appointment. And I told him, yeah, I want to be a textile artist. And I know you collect art and, you know, what is it like? I was just wanting to understand the space. And he said exactly the same thing. He listened to me and he said, you're never going to make any money in this industry. So don't waste your time. You study textile design, go work in a company, make design, stick to that. This is not worth pursuing. And I remember feeling so crushed, because if anyone should encourage textile artists, it would be someone who collects textiles, I thought. And of course, I mean, all of this happened in India, where I didn't really have anyone else around me who were textile artists. So I was like, oh, maybe this is not possible for me. Maybe it's only possible for people in another part of the world where this is supported. And I remember being really, really sad that day and just feeling lost. Everything I've wanted to do, someone just told me, was just pointless. And then I think I kind of sat there for about 2 days, but I was like, chuck it. I really want to do this, you know, so I'm going to figure out a way. I don't know how. I don't know if it's going to make me any money, or I don't know what the path is. I don't know who to speak to, but I want to figure this out and I'm going to just go for it. And it's just been one step in front of the other, trying to figure out where this curiosity would take me. And I could never have imagined the journey, you know, that I've taken and the people I've met, the things I've done, could have never imagined was possible I just took one step at a time. And I think that's what we all do, isn't it? Mm. We follow that curiosity.
Yes.
We need to trust that. Even when people around you are saying, this is not making sense, do something else. Yeah. You've got to trust that and keep moving forward, because that's what really gives you that joy and energy to put your next step forward. Yeah.
So oh, it's so so nice to hear that you had so similar experience.
And from such different parts of the world and cultures, we still have very similar journeys. Yeah.
Old men leading young women. No.
Yeah, I know. they mean well, but I know another thing that another thing that gives you a lot of energy is nature, and you love gardening. I've had the fruits and vegetables that have been grown in your garden by you. You really thrive there and you love that space. Could you share a bit more about what that is and what it does for you, what gardening and nature does for you?
I think I can really be myself there in that sense. I could just, it's almost like going into a flow or meditation, just to be surrounded by the interesting, beautiful shape and see how it changes and grows. And I really like the, all the seasons in the garden and in nature. I have had a lot of different gardens. Yeah, I remember when we lived in Borås, both of us, then that was quite a tiny garden. That was my third garden, my first greenhouse. And I remember when we bought that house, I started to cry, because the apple tree in the garden was actually what I were most happy for. Because it was such a beautiful tree. Signetillish is the name of the apple. And it's such a nice apple also. But a really old apple tree. And my daughter and she had a swing in it, and she could climb the tree. And that was a beautiful apple tree. I really love to be close to the things that is growing. It gives me also so much energy. And for many years I were thinking that I would really like to do a project where I could be outside in the nature for a year, so I could explore the seasons and the day and night much more. And then I was like, but I'm stupid, why do I need to do a project about everything? I could just move out to the countryside. And then when the pandemic came, that was actually a very positive output for me from that period, even though I feel we were very, many of us in Sweden were still very privileged. We could be outside in our gardens and we took the chance to also move to our summer house, to a small summer house. And then I felt that but this was actually what I was missing in my life. It was not a new project. It was more to be close to nature, to feel the moon in a dark place, to come more close to nature. That have been very, it's actually quite overwhelming still, but and it feels so strange. It's such a small thing to do, just to be out in nature, maybe. But I feel, gardening have always been special for me, but also to move out to the countryside and feel the rhythm in a new way have been really amazing. So now I dream about a small walnut farm. Maybe there will only be a couple of trees, but
What do you have growing in your garden right now then?
Actually, we are just in between. So we have sold our old house, and we are just about to start a new garden. And so for the moment, we are renting a place on a little farm. So it's really great. So we have just started to plan for a 200 square meters vegetable garden. So we are a group of people, so we will do it together. And I have also planted two walnut trees here together with the owners. So I want to leave some good memories after me, and I can come back in the future and pick some some nice nuts here.
any reason that it's walnuts? I'm curious.
Yeah, but it gives a beautiful shadow under, sitting underneath a walnut tree. It gives a fantastic shadow, I think, and especially here in Sweden. It also have an amazing smell during summer. And I think the nuts, it's a good protein source for Sweden. It's so nice. So I'm trying to find a good species for this climate soon. So that's what I'm reading about and planning now. I really love trees. And to eat also the fruit, it's great. And also to share that with others. I think that's also fantastic.
You're a textile maker and you create meaning and expressions through your work. Is there any textiles or clothing or fabrics that hold very personal meanings or memories for you? It doesn't have to be something you made, but that's really valuable to you, if you could share about that.
Yeah, but of course, I think textiles do communicate a lot of memories with me. And yeah, over the years, my grandmother learned me how to weave. So of course, that's been very nice. Yeah, actually, I got her loom and the interactive pillows were woven on her hand loom. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so that was so nice. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
She taught me, learned me how to weave a very traditional, this rug with beautiful patterns. And back then I was a student. And then I remember I spent some weeks in her house that summer to learn. And then I ran out of material, I ran out of money. So I collected all the plastic waste in her house. That was, so I thought I could just practice on whatever I can find in her house. But you know, this is over 25 years, but no more. So I haven't really kept things. I have moved quite a lot. So I have been a bit, learning to let go of things also, but still I have the memory of it. And I also have, my mother had saved all my clothings from growing up. And then, then when I were around maybe 24 or something, she came, or my father came with, I don't know how many boxes, maybe 20 boxes. And I was like, what to do with this? Word. It's like all the, all the synthetic material were just falling apart through my fingers and somewhere like, ooh, really fragile. But I did actually a short draft, a stop motion of that. So I could see myself. I should show you one day, me growing up. It's a really that was before digital cameras. But I actually translated it just this winter to a digital format. Yeah, I will share it with you.
Oh, Linda, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I would love to share it with you. Yeah. So that's a bit of my memory. So that's a very, it takes. And then when I see the pictures now, I can really feel the textile material, the structure, and how it felt to the body. And
wow.
So it
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it creates really strong memories in me.
Mm. I'm so glad you minded that.
I was more a bit angry of her, but I was like, why come with all this? What should I don't have where to put this? And I was like, you could have given this to other kids that could have carried it instead of it's like just falling apart. But it were a meaning probably. Mm-hmm.
But it meant so much to her.
True.
To see you grow, and each as you grew, she couldn't hold on to you as a baby or as an 8-year-old or 10-year-old, but this is what she could hold on to of you, right?
That's beautiful. I never thought about it in that way. Thank you. Oh, that's nice.
Wow. I know I've asked you a lot of questions. Is there any questions that you wish I'd asked you, or is there anything more that you wanted to share?
I'm just so happy that you asked for this chat, Millie. I feel it really inspired to revisit our past.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm really happy for bringing those memories up to life, and it feels really good to revisit today. Huh? So curious to see what can come up next.
When I imagined creating this podcast, this is the conversation I had in mind, and I'm so happy that we made that happen. Thank you, Linda, for your time and just sharing so openly and honestly. I think meeting you as part of this journey I've been on has been most amazing thing. I do wonder if you, this is something new I'm trying out, if you would like to leave a question for the next guest that I'm going to invite on the podcast. I don't know who that is. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but is there a question that you would like to ask the next guest?
Wow. Yeah, without knowing what guest there is. Ah, interesting. No, but I would be curious to know also what that person think is the most unique thing that he or she could contribute with from where that person sits today.
I like that question. Well, hopefully you listen into the next episode to find out the answer. Oh, Linda, it's been such a joy. Honestly, I wish I could just give you a big hug.
Me
right
too.
Now. I've enjoyed it so much. And hopefully we can continue these conversations off the episode and the podcast, but, you know, continue our journey together and see what the next 20 years brings up for both of us.
Looking so much forward, Millie.
Hope you enjoyed meandering with us through our experiences and reflections on smart textiles and a bit of life. Of course, this was just a slice of our reflections and thoughts, but I hope it was insightful for you. I still sometimes pinch myself today because I can't believe it has been 20 years since some of us have started exploring this field. It feels like it was only the other day that I first met Linda. And as you've gathered from this episode, we both feel like there is still so much more for us to learn and do in this field. But it is wonderful to be able to pause and step back and look at the ground that we have covered and also begin to think about what we need to do next. Linda's work has been challenging us to reimagine what is possible with textiles that can move and change and light up and sense a touch. And as she calls it, textiles that are disobedient, really. I believe many of you will identify with a passion to explore materials, to allow the materials to speak to you and lead you. This is the process that energizes me the most and excites me about textiles, to hold a material in your hand and go on a journey with it. I hope this episode has inspired you to do the same. Linda repeatedly spoke about the importance of curiosity, and this is a thread I've noticed that runs through all the guests in my podcast. They have all followed their curiosity, and it has led them to become leaders and innovators in their field. Curiosity is what fuels them every day to do what they do, no matter how challenging. Your curiosity and dedication to your craft can redefine the boundaries of what's possible. Trust that gut and do what brings you joy. Don't let anyone dampen that curiosity. Whether you're in textiles, technology, or any other field, the paths you explore and the contributions you make are essential for innovation. You might not see the impact of your work today, but know that you are making a difference. But I understand this journey is not an easy one. So if you feel alone in your work or feel unsupported, wondering why no one else understands what you do, I want you to know that I've been there, and I want to encourage you to really lean into your strengths and into your vision. Find others on a similar journey and support each other and collaborate and continue to push the boundaries of your fields. I understand how challenging it can be to figure out your path or find community. I'm really keen to support you in any way I can. If you'd like to share about your work, or if you need help with something, or you have some questions for me, please email me at millie@millietharakin.com to set up a 20-minute call. We can have a chat. I would love to hear from you. Help in any way. And if I don't have the answers for your questions, I probably know someone who does, and I'll be happy to connect you. This offer is valid till the 31st of May 2024, so ping me as soon as you can. It would be great to set up a call. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend or a colleague about this podcast. I would love to hear your feedback, so send me a message or leave a review. You can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. My email and all other social media contacts are in the show notes below. So until next time, stay curious, keep exploring, and never underestimate the impact of sharing your journey and ideas with the world. This is your host, Millie Tharagan.